Please pray with me. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of being able to gather around your word spoken to us today. I ask, God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit with us, that our hearts and our minds would be open to you, so that we might receive what it is that you would teach us this day. To this end, God, I ask that you would test these words in my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts. May they be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It was too late. I couldn't take it back or pretend that I hadn't meant what I had just said. I was sitting in a car late at night with my first girlfriend when she told me that she was breaking up with me because she had fallen in love with someone else. Now, there's probably no good response for that kind of situation, but I wasn't in the mood to minimize harm. I had been hurt. And with that, I chose to hurt in return. So with a twist of the knife, I offered a devastating assessment of her. A person whom I loved because my heart was racked with pain. I instantly regretted my words, but there they were. And we both knew that I meant every one of them. As we continue our exploration of how we might encounter God in friendship through prayer, we explore the counterpoint to last week's sermon, which focused on ritual prayer. Namely, we are asking whether or not we should pray extemporaneously, in the moment, using our own words, perhaps expressing the desires of our hearts. But similar to the definitional issues regarding prayer in general that we explored in our first sermon in this series, the Bible remains silent in matters of whether or not we should make up these prayers on the spot. Now, it does give us enough examples of people seemingly praying in an extemporaneous fashion, and that seems to answer this sermon's question in the affirmative right off the bat. So why should we preach on extemporaneous prayer or question its practice? And what does extemporaneous prayer offer us that the other forms of prayer might not? Now, as I've just said, Scripture never offers us an injunction to pray extemporaneously. However, it seems to assume that we as humans, we will suddenly speak out, making our hearts known to God. I think of Nehemiah, who regularly shot off foxhole prayers in moments of distress, or Hannah, prostrating herself before the Lord at Shiloh, asking for a child, or Jesus, racked with pain in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking that if it were possible, that this cup might pass. None of these were following any kind of liturgical formula in their prayers. Following after this biblical witness, I would wager that for many, extemporaneous prayer is the most frequently practiced form of prayer in our day-to-day lives, as it simply flows so naturally out of us. Even for those who do not find themselves in friendship with the God of the cosmos, there is still a tendency to voice our hopes and desires, even when we believe that all that means is shouting into the void. Despite how natural of an impulse this is for us, and something that we are invited to do as we approach God in friendship, I would suggest that we might want to be weary of extemporaneous prayer, especially if we are exercising it in a way that is out of balance with the other forms of prayer which are prescribed in Scripture. Now, like I've said several times now, the Bible never once prescribes extemporaneous prayer. However, it does offer us some clues for how to pray in this fashion. Let's begin with Jesus' words to the Pharisees as they misattribute the work of the Holy Spirit to that of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. In this passage from Matthew, Jesus reiterates a teaching which has been so central to his ministry that we find it first at the climax of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. A tree is recognized by its fruit. Specifically, in this instance, the quality of one's heart is exposed by the nature of our words. In a moment of judgment, the Pharisees let slip that they believe that the work Jesus is doing has come from the devil, showing that their hearts were not well attuned with the heart of God, whose spirit was on display within Jesus' healings and in his acts of liberating grace. Had they shared in God's heart, the words slipping out of their mouths would have betrayed the good fruit that the Spirit was producing within them, but rather their words expose that their hearts do not desire what God's heart desires. Jumping ahead to Paul's letter to the Philippians, we have the apostle exhorting his family to be joyous, gentle, without anxiety, prayerful, thankful, and at peace. Essentially a list that is not all too dissimilar from the fruit of the Spirit explained in Galatians 5. These expressions of their hearts are derived from meditating upon whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, and excellently worthy of praise. While Paul doesn't quite come out and say it, he is essentially telling the Philippians that they are to meditate upon God and what God is doing within the world. By focusing on the heart of God, the fruit produced within their own hearts will be the sort that bears salvific witness to whom we truly are. So what does all of this discussion about words, hearts, and God have to do with extemporaneous prayer? I suppose that passages like these leave me wondering about what our extemporaneous words within prayer reveal about our own hearts, what they reveal about whether or not we are being changed by meeting with God in the friendship of prayer. Now, the Psalms make it abundantly clear that we can approach God with less than holy, less than human attitudes and desires. However, the point isn't to stay in that place simply because it feels easy or natural, but rather we are supposed to be changed through our honest exchange with the Lord, so that we look more and more like God rather than like our old habits and patterns and desires. If we find that our prayer lives remain stagnant in continually bringing less than holy words and requests to God, then I would suggest that this is because our extemporaneous prayer has largely become about asking God to do things for us. Being as though praying extemporaneously is about using our own words to express our own desires, this form of prayer often is more focused on expressing ourselves than on receiving God. It's more focused on explaining what it is that we want to receive from God, what we believe that God should be giving us, than on receiving God. And if we are the only ones speaking, never listening, then our prayer is not a relationship. It's not a friendship. It is a monologue that is slowly going to erode away at our faith, because it will start to feel as though we are only people who are speaking into a void that doesn't hear and doesn't respond. Our words will start to betray us as a people who come to God in order to get what we want, rather than in an attempt to meet with the Lord as our friend. So how might we combat this tendency to over-practice an extemporaneous prayer life that is all about speaking what we want, especially when what we want is not in attunement with the life of Christ? I believe that there are at least three things that we must consider in order to turn our extemporaneous prayer lives around. One, that we must speak honestly to God and then honestly consider what our words reveal about our hearts. Two, we must not allow for the gift of extemporaneous prayer to become about ourselves. And three, we must temper our practice of extemporaneous prayer with the other forms of biblical prayer which are prescribed to us. First, please do not take anything that I've said today as a rebuke against praying honestly to God. We must not consider any part of our lives to be outside of the purview of God's care for us as a friend. However, much like the warning of Jesus, we must pay attention to what our words in prayer reveal about the content of our hearts. What do we tend to pray for? What is it that we find ourselves thinking about as we bring requests to God? Do our prayers tend to justify ourselves over others? Do we find ourselves being critical and judgmental of the people that we are praying for because of their politics, because of their poverty, because of their wealth? Do we honestly believe that that is how God views those people? Do we honestly believe that that is how God wants us viewing them? When my first girlfriend and I broke up, I was confronted with the deep malice and anger that I truly carried within my heart. My words, they were an honest witness to the ugliness that was within me. I suppose I could have justified these feelings because of the harm that had been done to me by this person, but that wouldn't have been honest to the true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy nature of the God upon whom I am called to meditate. If I left that base anger and malice within my heart, then that would be the focus of my meditation, and it would shape who I was to become, and it would certainly continue to spill out in the words that I would speak. Miraculously, God worked within me not only to root out that malice, but also to bring healing and forgiveness between me and my ex. But that's a story for another time. Second, most of the time our extemporaneous prayer becomes about telling God what we want. Sometimes this will be asking for God to work good things for us or for others. At other times, it will be praying that the world will be a certain way in alignment with our own personal convictions and values and assessments. Now, it is not wrong to pray about these things. But this, I would say, is an anemic view of what extemporaneous prayer can be. What about having a discipline of singing made-up songs or reciting made-up poetry on the spot in praise of God? or maybe thinking very specifically of all of the good gifts that you have been given in this life, and then giving thanks to God for all of the particularities that make you who you are. Or maybe you could prayerfully enumerate all of the good qualities of a friend within your life and then speak them to that person as a way of lifting them up. We have been so abundantly blessed with incredible creativity. And it seems to me that extemporaneous prayer is a wonderful avenue for utilizing this gift. So let us not be bogged down with only using this aspect of our prayer as a way of voicing what we think God should be doing for us. Lastly, we cannot let extemporaneous prayer become the only or even the primary way that we pray. Extemporaneous prayer is about our speaking. However, prayer does not primarily belong to us. Prayer is something that belongs to God. God, through the Spirit, is always praying for the world, and when we only practice extemporaneous prayer, then we are constantly speaking over what God is saying. Yes, God wants to meet with us in friendship and thus wants for us to speak freely. However, this also means that God would like to speak to us as well. We must learn how to listen in prayer, hearing what God thinks of the words that we are speaking in prayer, so that our hearts might be changed. We must hear what God desires for the world so that we too are asking for those desires to be accomplished, rather than always telling God how we believe God ought to be organizing the cosmos. The only way that we can hope to listen to God in prayer is if our speaking is not primary. We must still our egos by saying the words of the church in ritual prayer, as we discussed last week. We must hear the intercessions of others, participate within communal prayer, incorporate our bodies into our prayer lives, and contemplatively listen to God in prayer, all of which we will be discussing in the weeks to come. It is only when our prayer life is in balance, listening as well as speaking with God, that we can truly say that we are encountering God as a friend. And so, my dear family, I hope that you will heed the warnings of Jesus and pay attention to what your words reveal about your hearts. May you honestly speak and then honestly assess yourselves so that you come to think on the excellent and praiseworthy characteristics of God's heart and action within the world. Yes, speak to God, but do not let that be an invitation, become an excuse for monopolizing the conversation within the relationship that God is offering you. For when you meet with the Lord, both speak and listen, and then truly you will be on the path towards friendship with our God. Amen.